time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Now it's time for our regular catch-up with one of our most important minor parties about the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. Today, Alex chatted with ACT's Brooke Van Velden about the New Zealand Initiative report into the Ministry of Health's policies, as well as youth crime statistics. He started by asking Brooke, what conclusions did the NZI report make?
Yeah, well, the New Zealand Initiative, which is a big think tank down here in Wellington, they're a policy think tank, came out with a new report yesterday on the health system. And they've pretty much just dived into the question of whether or not it's acceptable that the government is moving further and further down into a situation of dividing our health system based on people's race rather than based on people's individual needs. And they've concluded that there's not a lot of evidence that's backing up the government's desire to change the system and pigeonhole people based on their race rather than other needs and considerations that could be in their lives. And the author, Dr. Bryce Wilkinson, tried to ask the Prime Minister and the Ministry of Health, well, what evidence and data do you actually have to say that because of somebody's race, this is what their outcome or their health outcome will be? And because we hear it time and time again, you know, you've got the Prime Minister, you've got people involved in the health system saying, because someone is of a particular race, they will have a worse health outcome. And strangely enough, they've come up short, and they can't actually say that there's any evidence that's behind this decision. So the author is just saying, well, we really need to just step back and say, well, is it acceptable that we spend billions of dollars, but we don't actually know what's driving the inequity in our healthcare sector? It's not okay just to say it's systemic racism of the system. It's not okay to simplify and say you have a poorer health outcome just based on your race that you were born with. We actually need better evidence if we're going to be changing the system. And I completely agree with that. You know, the education system has just been changed to say that there are a whole range of variables in people's lives, you know, where they're born, the income of their parents, you know, the type of justice system failings that they may have encountered. There's just an awful lot of things that are going on in people's lives that lead to different outcomes. So why is it that we've got a health system that's now just trying to divide people based on their race? It should be about individual need. And I think we really need far more data and analysis in our healthcare system.
Surely a strong argument for the use of a greater emphasis on Māori health outcomes in the health system is qualitative evidence. Because that points to a history of discrimination, and you know that's well documented in reports such as the Waitangi Tribunal 2575 into the health system. What's your response to those who say these kind of qualitative factors, which are at times harder to express in a quantitative form, are strong enough to merit these types of changes?
Well, when we've looked at the data that you know, Bryce Wilkinson himself has actually outlined, he's gone into that data as well, the ones that you've talked about. But he has concluded that if people are serious about wanting to close the gaps, and this is him quoted, they should be serious about assessing the causes and finding out what worked. On the evidence reviewed in this paper, officials aren't seriously interested in assessing the causes of poor outcomes for Māori and others. This is a very discouraging finding. Billions of dollars are being spent annually, and no wonder outcomes remain poor. So he's not saying that there aren't different health outcomes, but he's saying the evidence that it's based on just isn't there yet. And he points to the fact that in the year 2000, which was the last time he found any good data, it actually said that variations in outcomes for people within each of Māori and non-Māori are far greater than the inter-ethnic group variations. So what that means is within Pākehā as a racial group, there is a huge amount of disparity between the health outcomes for some Pākehā people and other Pākehā people, and there are huge variations between health outcomes some Māori people and other Māori people. And that difference in those health outcomes is actually far greater than the difference that is between the different ethnic groups. So it's very simplistic and lazy just to say that because you're Māori, you have a worse health outcome, or just because you're Pākehā, you have a better health outcome. It's actually far more complicated than that because there's huge variation within the different population groups. And so when we've got, you know, Pharmac and it's going out there saying, you know, we want to have diabetes drugs prioritised and given directly to people who are Māori and a different category of criteria if you're any other race, is just wrong because it's oversimplifying the needs of the individuals within those population groups. And I think we do need to take this this report seriously. That we could actually be making health outcomes worse for some people because we're simplifying things down based on race. And in fact, if you go into evidence, there are health outcomes that could be very, very different in the racial groups. We do need to do far more analysis. So I just want to make the point that people are not saying that there are not different health outcomes. Of course there are, and we can see that in some of the statistics that we find. But I think people need to be very honest and not simplify the problem down based on race, like the government does and says, well, if we want better health outcomes, we've just got to split the system into two different racial groups. I think that's just lazy.
Brooke and I then discussed the ACT Party's latest call for more statistics on youth crime that the government has been unable to meet.
Yeah, this is another issue about government data and what evidence and information we actually have, because that's how we make good public policy. And you're right, we're seeing a huge amount of youth crime. The number of RAM raids is just going through the roof, and it doesn't feel like you can open a paper or look online without seeing another report of crime committed by youth. But my ACT colleague, Tony Severin, has once again found some really good information. And it says that the number of under 25-year-olds in prison has decreased from 1,736 since the government took office down to 720. So that's a huge drop in the number of young people who have been convicted of offences. And at the same time, the number of people who are working in corrections management has nearly halved. So we really need to know more data on whether or not the number of youth offenders is decreasing, how many people have been caught ram raiding, you know, how many of these young people have been re-offenders, and how many have been assigned to youth aid, or how many have been caught and have escaped the youth facility. We need to really know how big this problem is, so we know what policy solutions can work. And I think that goes back to even the last subject that we talked about. You know, it's sloppy politics just to put out new policy proposals if we don't really know the data behind the types of individuals that we're dealing with and the types of political interventions that they've already faced. So I think the minister should really answer those questions so we know what these youths are that we're dealing with.
What do you think are the principal motivations for this data to not be out there at the moment?
Well, I think in some respects, when we see data released from the court system, a lot of it is usually dealing with adults, and that data is a lot easier to find than it is in the youth justice system. And for some instances, I can see that they're trying to protect the information of young offenders. But I think even if you take away the individual data, we really do need to know over time what is happening to these kids. You know, it's not good just to say, well, this is the youth justice system and it means that the data is harder to find. In fact, it should be even easier to find because it's in the earlier stages of somebody's life that you can make those changes for them. So if we're not collecting the data, we definitely need to collect the data so we know what works and what policy interventions may have worked on someone. But we also need to know how big the scale of the problem that we're dealing with is.
As you say, though, it is, you know, youth crime is a more sensitive subject when you're talking about children. Do you think there's a concern about collecting the right data, given that often you're dealing with more sensitive situations with children, ones that require approaches that are not as simple as, say, going to court and recording a conviction or not a conviction?
I think it could be the situation of needing more and varied data. Because like you say, it's not as simple as having just how many convictions there are. When people don't go through the criminal justice system as a child because they don't have a conviction and they have youth aid, for example, that doesn't appear as somebody being in the prison statistics, for example. But it is important that we know that if we have a group of young offenders, that the interventions that we have placed on them are working or they're not working. And so we need more and better collection of data so that we can actually analyse whether the money going into that system is worthwhile or whether there should be another intervention needed. And I think that's just important for those individuals' long-term outcomes, but for the outcomes of children going decades into the future. So we know that we're not wasting billions of dollars and it didn't work.
That was Alex speaking to Brooke Van Velden in his weekly chat with the ACT Party deputy leader.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.